Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
You can follow us on all social media channels at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Dory, let's jump right into who our guest is this week.
Yeah, very, very excited that she's made time to come back on with us. This was her now third time on Game Misconduct, and it is Miss Kaylee Chelios, who, if you don't know, you should. She's the Tampa Bay Lightning hockey reporter for the team. She does brilliant video packages and intermission reports that are just spot on all the time. Amazing questions. Kaylee, how can everybody get a hold of you and follow all of your fun stuff that you have going on, your videos and your reports on Twitter?
Hi, guys. Thanks again for having me. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram. My name's just Kaylee Chelios, so either one there.
Pretty easy. No crazy stuff.
If you remember my name, you can find me anywhere on social media. And obviously, all the awesome video packages we do at Lightning Vision are on TampaBayLightning.com, and every once in a while, you can catch some of that content on Fox Sports as well. So, very digital-based, but excited to continue to do it for a third season.
And you're continuing to do that for a third season, and you're also, you've kind of been on the road in the radio broadcast booth, haven't you?
Yeah, it's awesome. It was an opportunity that kind of came pretty quickly. I wanted to always get into color, and I'd love to do it on TV. It's one of my goals down the road. But the radio opportunity, you know, wasn't necessarily there at first. And thanks to the generosity of Dave Mishkin, the Lightning's play-by-play announcer, he was more than happy to have me jump on board and was suggested it. And thankfully, it fell into my lap because couldn't have asked for a better opportunity to start in radio and for the Lightning, obviously a great team, a successful team at that. And it's been so fun so far. I did all the preseason games on the road, and it looks like I'll continue to do the rest of the road games for the Lightning this season.
Oh, congratulations. And you get to do it with Dave Mishkin, who's honestly, we say this all the time, he is honestly one of the genuinely nicest people anybody could ever deal with.
Yeah, Dave's the best. He's a genius. He's brilliant. He's so easy to work with. I mean, he's been a great mentor to me so far, really encouraging and really insightful. And I couldn't have asked to start out with anyone better. And he's, you know, so talented. Having to call every game on the road by himself is pretty challenging to do. And I'm just glad that he's kind of invited me to be a part of the broadcast now on the road. And I can learn a ton from him in such a short time.
Well, you've been doing a great job. I was listening in the preseason, and I was cheering you on. It was you did a fantastic job. So we're so excited you're going to continue to do that through the regular season.
Thank you. Yeah, I am too. I'm looking forward to it.
So, what is a day on the road like for you then? Because before you were doing some road trips, not all of them, but now it's going to be a pretty continuous thing. So, what's a day on the road like for those of us who don't get to travel with the team?
Yeah, I mean, I love road games. I love being in different cities I'd never been in. I love traveling. And, you know, obviously it's great being able to travel with the team and stay in some pretty cool places and hotels. But my first year, I think the first road trip I was on was the dad's trip, which is one of my favorite trips of the year. And that was in November of my first season. And it's always exciting. You kind of get to know the players a bit better, you know, because they're pretty comfortable and happy to be around dad. And they came to Buffalo, Toronto last season and, you know, got to step on the ice with them. So that's always a great trip on the road. And my first year, I didn't do quite as many trips. Last year, I did almost all the trips with the exception of the week before All-Star and a couple other one-day trips. So I stayed pretty busy last year. This year, it looks like I'll be on a lot of the road trips as well, probably a little bit more than last season. And it's awesome. I mean, for me, now that I'm doing radio, it keeps me extra busy, so I'll have to put in a little extra time the day before just to get ready for doing the color commentary. But it's great. I mean, you usually get on the flight, you go three different cities in a week and sometimes three different time zones, and it's a lot of fun. And I love taking advantage of the off days when you can kind of travel and explore around cities. Last year, we went to Vancouver, and my boss, who was with us on the trip, took us snowshoeing for a couple hours, and that was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it a lot. So there's a lot of fun downtime stuff to do, but, you know, it's also a lot of work and a lot of travel, and I'm looking forward to it.
I've always wanted to go to Vancouver. It's one of those cities that I've always, like, my whole life been like, I want to go to Vancouver. It's so beautiful. And it just, it's so unique. And I just envy you that you get to do all that. Now, you do have a road trip coming up shortly. That's kind of one of those, I call it the zigzag, one of the zigzag trips, because it's kind of like you're bouncing a little bit. When you have to, like, do a trip like that, you did one last year, I believe, you know, the central, I don't even know, is it, where is Arizona? I don't even know what time zone that is. I'm being serious. I don't know geography.
Mountain time.
Okay.
And you're... I don't either, which is embarrassing, but I'm pretty sure it's mountain.
Yeah. So how do you deal with all that time change back and forth? I mean, the players, you know, they've been doing this for a long time, but, like, how do you adjust and reacclimate yourself?
I mean, I remember my first year, like the first time we did the West Coast trip, it was like I just had like an out-of-body experience at like 4:30 in the morning or 5, and then, you know, not getting used to your sleep or being exhausted at like 7:30, you know, in Los Angeles, and you still have the rest of the road trip to go. So it definitely is a wake-up call, but I think going into year 3 now, I'm better prepared for how to handle it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a way to really figure it out yet for me. But, yeah, when you cross into, like, the different time zones and everything, and then you take these 3.5, 4 or 5 hour flights back to Tampa, those ones will get you. You don't even remember what day it is. But I love the road, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I always enjoy flying with the team anywhere.
We're speaking with Kaylee Chelios on Game Misconduct. So Andre Vasilevsky has a full year now under his belt of being the starting goaltender for the Tampa Bay Lightning. What have you seen so far in the preseason and early on in this season to see maybe what differentiates, you know, his first season from, you know, his technically his sophomore season?
Right. Well, I think the preseason he did a nice job, but he, you know, just wanted to get some, you know, the only way for a goaltender to really get into the groove of things is getting pucks and getting shots and getting games in. It's always harder to be in shape. You can't really, no matter how much off-season training you do, you're never going to be in game shape until you start getting those games. So I think he really used the preseason just to start warming up and, you know, get a feel for it, get acclimated, get set, and then, you know, come that first game against the Florida Panthers, I thought he did a fantastic job. You know, he didn't allow a goal, shot on goal, or I'm sorry, not a shot on goal, but he didn't allow a goal the remainder of that game after the first few minutes. And I thought he was lasered in, you know, focused. He looked incredible. He made some really, really impressive stops on some great A chances for the Florida Panthers in tight. And, I mean, I'm excited to see what he has this year because that Vezina finished last season. You know, I think he got his first taste of what an entire season feels like, both physically and mentally, and it's hard. I mean, mentally, you know, to be able to start with the success that they had, and he was really their MVP last year for most of the season, and then towards the end when the entire team kind of fell into some inconsistent play towards the end, I mean, it's tough to be able to play 65 games, which he ended up handling last season, the second most, and Connor Hellebuyck, who had the first most, and you know, that's tough, but I think this year, after having an entire season under his belt, he knows what to be prepared for. He knows how to get through, you know, that kind of toughness and anger, and it looks like, or frustration, excuse me, but it looks like, you know, he's even more patient and even more poised, and that experience has helped him tremendously as to, you know, what it's going to take this year to reach his ultimate goal, which isn't a personal trophy like the Vezina final. He wants to win a Stanley Cup championship, and, you know, he's gotten so close and played in some big moments against the Chicago Blackhawks and against Pittsburgh, but I think last year, ultimately, even more than the playoff experience he's had, was the biggest test for him to know what it's going to take. And, you know, he's a phenomenal athlete, a great goaltender, one of the best, obviously, in this league. He's established himself last year as a lead, and I think he'll have another tremendous season.
Do you think that we're going to see the coaching staff and maybe Vasilevsky himself kind of balancing out that number of games and maybe see a little bit more of Louis Domingue?
I think so. I think that, you know, maybe it depends. You know, if Vasilevsky is hot and playing great, I think they're going to roll with him and keep going. But Louis Domingue last year really proved to be a reliable, you know, he did impressive 7-3-1, you know, coming in, and he played in some really tough games against Detroit Red Wings. And, you know, last season when they had that really tough game against Ottawa, it was, you know, they had some changes in the lineup and the back end, you know, scratching some defense that they never scratched. And they put Louis Domingue in to, you know, kind of take some of that pressure off Andre Vasilevsky. And he stepped up and was tremendous. And from talking with him and the Lightning goaltender coach Franjean, You know, it sounds like he's become even more poised with the puck. One of his greatest strengths, which, you know, now that he's more comfortable, he'll probably start to utilize and we'll see more of, is just his puck handling. Yeah, he's really good. Ben Bishop used to be tremendous at it as well. But I think Louis has a lot, even more, you know, a lot more to offer this season. And I think he can definitely alleviate Andre Vasilevsky of the responsibility of having to, you know, play 65-plus games, maybe get closer to that 55 60 range that coaches want to put him at and take care of more than just those back-to-back games.
So, you know, we didn't have a lot of turnover on our team this year, and I've seen some arguments on Twitter whether that's a good thing or a bad thing to kind of have the same core. Actually, it's more than the core. It's pretty much everybody that has been with the team for the last couple of years. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that they obviously are bringing back that same core group. And as far as the leadership group goes, they're bringing back those same players and the Ryan Callahan, Steven Stamkos's. There's so much experience on this team. And I know last year they were obviously all hoping, you know, that experience may be able to take them all the way to a Stanley Cup final and win it. But, you know, unfortunately they just ran into some trouble in that, you know, Eastern Conference final and they weren't able to do it. But like Ryan Callahan had said in camp, you know, you don't forget those moments. You know, they stay with you, and eventually, you know, that frustration, maybe that anger, it's motivating. And for the Washington Capitals, obviously, that was the case for them. They really willed it to win, and they played as a team, and they deserve to be the Stanley Cup champions. And for this year's team, I think they are bringing back a lot of that same team, but even more. I think they've added a lot more depth with the addition of Matthew Joseph. I mean, he was tremendous all camp. He was someone who caught my eye in the first development camp I saw him on, just his speed, his deception. You know, he looks smart. He has his head up all the time when he's skating. He can play on the first, second, third, fourth line. He can move up and down the lineup and still find ways to contribute. And he still has to prove, you know, that he can do that at the NHL level on a consistent level. But again, you know, Julian Brisebois coming in now, he knows as well as anyone that the game is moving to a more skilled, fast, you know, those are the kind of players you want up and down the lineup, including the fourth line. So he's somebody who I think is a very valuable asset with his versatility. So even though they are bringing back the same group, you know, it's not quite the same because they've added Matthew Joseph, you know, they've added Danik Martell. They're starting the year with Corey Conacher and Adam Ernie. You know, Ernie adds a lot to that fourth line potentially if he can still find ways to contribute, and he adds a little bit more of that high-end skill with the size and physicality of what you, you know, typically see on the fourth line. So I think they've actually, you know, added some great players and a lot more depth. And, you know, it's always great to have too much depth and a lot, especially at that center position, you know, than the other way around. So it'll be interesting to see who kind of earns a permanent role in the lineup. You know, I didn't mention Danik Martell, but he's another one, too, that's a good player to keep your eye on.
All right, we're with Kaylee Chelios on Game Misconduct. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're back with Game Misconduct and our guest, Kaylee Chelios. So the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, all the commentators on national media, writers, everybody seems to be picking the Tampa Bay Lightning to be there at the end into June. Do you think that's a good thing for our team to be looked at like that? Or do you kind of think, you know, maybe you want to be the dark horse like Washington kind of was last year? They always kind of suspect maybe Alexander Ovechkin and the Capitals would be there, but they were never really looked at last year as that they were going to be the ones to take that cup.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Washington Capitals, they were always up there. They were always a team that could be a Stanley Cup contending team, but they were never able to prove that they can get past the Pittsburgh Penguins and make it to an Eastern Conference final in advance. So for them, obviously, I think beating the Pittsburgh Penguins was probably one of the most emotional moments for that team, especially Alexander Ovechkin. But yeah, I don't know at this point, you know, this year that this team is looking at expectations. I mean, they've come so close in the last 4 years, and it's always bitter, you know, for any player, even if they've retired, to have to watch another team win the Stanley Cup and, you know, carry that trophy when you know that you were just, you know, a few games shy of holding it yourself. So I don't know that expectations have really been a, you know, a part, you know, that's more for the media, I think, and for outsiders looking in. But obviously for them, they know that they're a contending team. They know that they have the ability and they have the experience, and they've been in those tough moments. They know what it's like to lose. And, you know, this year it's going to be a matter of, you know, what's going to be the difference to carry them at least to another Stanley Cup final. And for them, you know, I think playing the Washington Capitals, they lost their team game a little bit. They lost some of that fire, a lot of that energy and the passion that they had played with in the first couple rounds. And you could just see the Washington Capitals, they had that. I mean, they played a fast, big, heavy game. You know, they were on them from the start, and they just willed themselves and ended up in a Stanley Cup final. And, you know, Nico could kind of feel watching that series, like how it was going to play out. And for the Lightning, I think they just have to continue to play their game, and they have to, it's hard, an 82-game season and then a deep playoff run. It's not easy. I mean, it's tiring, and it's hard for, you know, players to figure out, especially for them coming into the end of the season. They kind of hit some inconsistent play and sort of a rough patch, but for them, it's like they were still first in the division, first in the Eastern Conference, when, you know, people were questioning their defensive ability or Vasilevsky. Or so I think for them, you know, it's a matter of not necessarily peaking too early and making sure that they can get some confidence and some momentum going into that playoff run, which they did have last year, and being able to hold that for a consistent amount of time.
Yeah, and this is a team that, as you brought up, that they've been here before. So it's not lack of conditioning or anything. Like, they've done it 4 years, you know, however many times now. They're going deep in the playoffs. I do think that, like you said, you kind of saw that they stopped playing their game a little bit. But as I was watching the Eastern Conference Final, I was watching an Alex Ovechkin that I wasn't used to seeing. He seemed to, I mean, stars, you know, really come out. We've seen it time and time again, especially in hockey. You know, they make, you know, big moments in big games, but he just really seemed to kind of, it all came together. All the questions people had about him being kind of gritty and going after the puck, I watched it happen. Do you think that that took anybody kind of a little aback? They weren't expecting to see that from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think for him, he's always been a player who people kind of put on the bubble about, you know, why he's never been that playoff player for them and why he's never been able to take them any farther as the captain. He's been there, you know, same era, obviously. He's mm-hmm. always been him versus Sidney Crosby, and he's never been the one to be able to take his team to a Stanley Cup final and win a championship. But, yeah, for him, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt he was arguably, like, their best player. When he was on his game, and which he was, especially in the Eastern Conference Final against the Lightning, he was leading the charge. I mean, goals in the first minutes of the game, his hits. I mean, he's a big body, and he was laying hits. He was playing a two-way game. He was finding ways to score goals. Even strength on the power play. I mean, he was doing everything he had to do. He was becoming that playoff player that I think everyone knew he could be deep down. But obviously, I think the biggest turning point was getting past the Pittsburgh Penguins. And since then, it was just an emotional roller coaster, you know, being so close now and not wanting it to slip away. So I think he had all the motivation in the world, you know, to try to get to a Stanley Cup final, let alone win one. And, yeah, that was certainly some of his best hockey by far. He led the charge for them, and when a player like that can step up and do things out of their comfort zone or out of what people expect them to do, you know, defensively, back checking, playing that physical game that he did, it can completely change the momentum of a series, let alone a game. I think that he was an incredible impact for that team and really set the tone, especially against the Lightning in those final three games. I don't think that they were able to kind of find their structure and play together the way that the Washington Capitals kind of came together and found the will to win.
All right, Kaylee, well, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow her stories on TampaBayLightning.com. Kaylee, remind everybody where they can find you on social media as well.
Yep, just my name. If you look up Kaylee Chelios on Twitter and Instagram, you'll find everything about me there. So there and TampaBayLightning.com. But yeah, that's my social media handle.
She's one of the lucky ones who got her own name.
I know. I know. I do too.
Lucky.
I joined Twitter in like 2009 or something.
Oh, early.
And like Dori LeBlanc, like anybody's going to have that.
You never know.
I guess.
So super excited for Kaylee, how she's getting, into the radio color commentary. She does a great job. So if you're listening to a road game, give it a listen. Her and Dave Mishkin do a fantastic job.
Yeah, I personally think that Dave, and of course, I'm going to be biased, okay? I'll just say it right now. I'm biased, but sometimes...
You're such a homer.
Ooh. It's funny because I'm like a homer about, like, you know, our broadcast crew. So when you're in the media workroom, they're playing the game, mm-hmm. but you're listening to the radio broadcast.
Yeah. Right.
I'll tell you, Dave Mishkin and Phil Esposito are just...
A laugh riot.
They are... Listen, I'm telling everybody, just one game... Watch the TV, mm-hmm. but listen to Dave Mishkin and especially Mr. Esposito. And first of all, it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Mr. Esposito just is at the point where he
just beside himself. It's too much. It's just too much.
You get grunts. You get oh no's. You get come ons. It's just amazing. And Dave Mishkin's brilliant at what he does. So
yeah.
I'm excited. I'm going to be. I think I'm going to watch that road game. That first road game. Kind of doing the same thing, listening to Mishkin and
watching the TV
Kaylee.
Feed. Yeah. No. Yeah. It's. I mean, look. Kaylee's not the first one, but it's a big deal.
Sure, of course it is.
For Kaylee to have the opportunity to do that. And so it's just very exciting, and we're super happy for her. She's one of our good friends. I can't believe this is her third season with the team. Like, it feels like she just got here.
It kind of does, but, I remember the first time we met her. Mm-hmm. It was a few years ago when she first came down. And to see how much she's grown and taken, and you feel like it's really a self- initiative, like she takes initiative to get better, to get more. I mean, she's doing so much. She really does. And you can, nothing slacks.
No.
It's not like, well, I only like doing the video packages. So no. I always get the impression from her that she is on top of all those intermission reports. She does a really good job with those.
Right. Yeah.
And the human interest stories and everything just comes together. And it's just like, it's so great to see somebody work to get where they want.
Right.
And not just kind of like rest on her laurels or like, well, now I'm here.
Yeah.
Waiting for the next.
I'll let somebody else tell me what to do. No, yeah. It seems like she's really going out to get it.
It seems that way.
Yeah. So it's all good stuff.
And she's very nice. She's lovely and she's incredibly smart.
Yeah, and she goes to like all the practices and everything. So I love following her on Twitter if I can't get to any of the practices or morning skates, because she's always got such great content. So really make sure you give her a follow on social media. If you're not already. But yeah. So something I saw on NHL.com was that a legend in the hockey world is getting something really special. Mm-hmm. Can you take any guesses?
Actually, I do know what this is.
You do?
Yeah, it's going on in Detroit.
Detroit,
and they're going to rename the city Steve Eiserman's. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Totally kidding. You
too
got
soon,
me.
Too soon.
Gordie Howe, you're a big deal when you get a bridge named after you that's going to connect two countries.
I know.
This is crazy. The Gordie Howe International Bridge is going to go from Detroit to Ontario, if
Windsor,
I'm correct.
Probably Windsor.
And Gordie Howe was from Saskatchewan, but he played for the Detroit Red Wings for so many seasons.
Mm.
So
Decades.
So how cool is that?
I know. It's very neat because obviously Joe Louis Arena is no longer operating as the home of the Detroit Red Wings, but it goes to, he was more to that city than just a hockey player.
Right.
Or one of the great, or the greatest hockey, depend, who you ask.
Right.
But to have a bridge named after you, I mean, I grew up in Philadelphia, so we had bridges named after everybody. We did. But every bridge is named after somebody. We've got the Howard Franklin here and the Courtney,
Right.
This isn't a local bridge. This is an international bridge.
That's amazing.
It is. I think it's super cool. And I don't think it, I mean, I think it's a great way to honor the man.
Talk about a legacy.
Oh my gosh.
And he played for 25 seasons with the Detroit Red Wings.
I mean, yeah, that's what I said, decades.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's not even like a couple years. I mean, he played for the Red Wings longer than most people play in
hockey.
Their entire career.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he played for Hartford and he played, you know what I'm saying? I mean, right. it's insane. It's insane when you think about how many years he played. Because yeah. it was just like 5 decades, like something it's his entire career spanned.
Yeah, I don't
five
know.
5 decades.
It's
unbelievable.
I can't wait to go to Canada for the first time. I want to drive across that bridge when it's done.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
I think that'd be really special.
Yeah.
So
I don't know much about, I know they're doing the renovation downtown, the rebirth of downtown Detroit. Right. You know, it was Mr., you know, Mike Ellich's, one of his right. final things right. before he passed away was to redo part of the city and all that. And I know that I saw plans at the draft
right.
when we were there. Somebody that I have known a very long time happens to work for that the corporate ownership
right.
group, and he had some plans that he showed me, and I was like, these are awesome. But I haven't been up in a few years, so I haven't seen any of the new stuff.
Right.
But so I'm kind of interested, like, you know, I've driven across the Ambassador Bridge before,
right.
which is 75. So I don't know if this is like you know, they're just expanding 75
yeah, I don't know.
Up there or whatever, but super fun. And also, by the way, if anybody does this, and if you ever do, if you're in Detroit and you go, it's literally quicker to get to Canada. It's quicker to get to Windsor from Detroit than it is to get from, you know, Clearwater to Tampa on the bridge.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's a river. It's the Detroit River. It's like the Hillsborough River.
Oh, wow.
It's literally a river. You're crossing a river. But, like, once you get over there and you get past, you know, the customs, the
yeah.
border patrol, who knows what it's like there now. But a few years ago, the first thing you see is, like, Applebee's neighborhood mart, like neighborhood grill, because they spell it with the U.
Yeah,
it's just like super trippy.
It's like welcome to Canada. So,
and the LCBOs everywhere. It's just, it's super neat that you're that close. Like, you can see, like, there's Detroit
and there's Windsor,
and you have to buy your alcohol in a certain area, and oh. you know, like the LCBO. It's like you know, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of like that.
It's fascinating.
Super fascinating.
Do you think we would ever name a bridge? Rename a bridge here, maybe after one of our Lightning players?
I think it'd be cool.
The Vanilla Cavalier.
You know what? I don't know if it'd
bridge.
Be that. I bet we would do a Phil Esposito.
Oh.
I bet we would. I'm going to put in for that.
You're going to write into your city councilman?
When I vote in November, can I just like write in
Phil Esposito and every
bridge? I mean, I think that's a weird idea.
Yeah, we don't endorse doing that on your ballot. But yeah, I'd drive across the Phil Esposito Bridge.
I think it would be a nice way to honor somebody that brought something that turned out, that maybe started. It was a dream for him. You know, it was just something that he thought he didn't really know.
And nobody thought it was real possible either.
And nobody thought it was possible. Yeah. And to see where it is and to see how involved they are in the community, you know, the one of the permanent, I think it's a weird way to put it, but one of the spots, one of the, what do you call the camp? I don't know, camps or something of the Lightning Foundation, the community group
right.
is in Clearwater at the, you know, by the old, Icott Center
yeah.
hockey rink, the Clearwater Ice Arena.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not just a downtown Tampa water, you know, Channelside Drive. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I really would love to know if he thought that's what this would become.
Would turn out
26
to.
Years ago.
And really, the team and the team ownership sparring the revitalization of downtown Tampa, too.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought that when he started
venture? Think about, and just think of where it's come in the last 8 years since Mr. Vinnick bought the team.
Yeah, leaps and bounds.
Leaps and bounds.
Yeah. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're back with more Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget, you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. So perusing through NHL.com, I've noticed that the Carolina Hurricanes have an interesting victory tradition.
Tradition? Oh.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
So, well, you know, our sure. Tampa Bay Lightning, if they win a game, they all gather mid-ice and salute the fans, mm-hmm. right? Well, the Carolina Hurricanes, they skate and leap into the boards. Well, at least that's what they did their first win against the Rangers.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I don't think that's a good idea.
Why? Because Please elaborate.
You know, a thing that happens in other sports, like baseball, not baseball, I don't know anything about baseball, to be honest with y'all, but basketball and especially football, is that these players do things like charity basketball events or, a bicycling exposition, and they wind up getting hurt. How many times have we seen a kicker in football, you know, celebrate a kick,
yeah.
And hurt themselves? I just feel like this is not going to end well.
Probably didn't think well through this.
I don't think it's very well. I don't, if it was my team and I was the owner, I would tell them, if you do that, I'm going to bench you for the game. Because, you know, you can see it coming. It's one of those, you know, train wrecks. You see it in the distance coming towards you. Like, no, bad idea. I just think people are going to get hurt. Or not only that. But how many times have we seen? I know the stanchions are, you know, a little more reinforced than they used to be back in the day, mm-hmm. but we've seen glass come out.
Yeah, Sergachev actually at practice a couple days ago had a shot go into the glass and shattered it.
See?
So you just never know.
I mean, I don't think they'd go into it that much for. I guess this is their iteration of the Lambo leap or something, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know if it's the smartest idea. But we've seen a lot of kind of reckless stuff going on, I think, sometimes lately.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do on the ice, aside from, you know, the Tom Wilson situation. By the way, if you missed Eric Erlandson's
last week
with when CT, I thought, was going to give him an aneurysm.
I know. So if they want to listen to it, where can they go?
Okay, so you can go to the Lightning Power Play Replay channel on SoundCloud, and then just kind of scroll down till you find us. It'll, what was the date? The 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead and listen to that section of Eric Erlandson going to about lose his mind. But that's actually not what I was getting at.
Okay.
But it was the first thing, and now I think I'm scarred.
Yeah. I've never heard him that upset before.
He wasn't happy.
He wasn't happy.
Yeah. And I wasn't even talking about those bonehead moves. The Philadelphia mascot. What is this thing called?
Okay.
Gritty?
So let's get into this, because there's apparently a mascot rivalry, like, happening.
Come on.
Yeah. It's a thing.
Which is silly. First of all, I don't know. This Gritty thing really scares me.
So if you haven't heard and you've been living under a rock.
It's supposed to, you know, they call him the internet's favorite mascot. And I'm like, I am terrified of this thing.
So there's like a mascot feud. Or at least Gritty's trying to pick a couple fights.
Shocker.
Great PR move. But anyway, not really sure what Gritty is. He kind of looks like a deranged Jim Henson character.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you. And no, there's no relation between me and Gritty. I know we're both redheads, but there's no relation.
So, I wonder if he was like thought of during the Super Bowl winning riot party. I don't know. It's scary. It scares me.
You know... Yeah. So anyway, he's kind of like taking fights with other mascots. I'd like to see him take on our Thunderbug.
Oh, yeah.
But he made his debut at a game a couple days ago.
When he like dropped from the ceiling.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's your crazy looking mascot.
Gritty. Of all things.
Which, I mean, you could have thought of a better name,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, because, you know, here's the thing. Be very careful when you name something that rhymes with a negative cuss word.
Yes. Yes.
And especially when your team maybe hasn't, you know, been good in a while. I just would just be a little careful about that. But that's just me. But yeah, so this Gritty.
Yeah. He was also, you know what the soundtrack was to his epic fly-in from the ceiling? Miley Cyrus' Wrecking Ball.
Oh, well, if you're going to go all class, you might as well. I'm just shocked this thing didn't hurt itself, because during the preseason, he had a hard time staying on his feet.
Yeah.
He kept slipping and falling. And
well,
I was like,
mm. It's baby mascot syndrome. You know, it takes him a little time to figure out how to stay on their feet.
Aye, aye, aye.
So, yeah, Gritty is just showing up everywhere.
Something else, that one.
Bring it on, Gritty. Sure. I think Thunderbug would take him.
Yeah. I don't know. Thunderbug's so sweet, though.
He is sweet. All right. So something we're going to try to do every couple weeks, give some Twitter shout outs, because we have a lot of amazing people that tweet us and follow us, like Rebecca Stewart. Love her.
She's so sweet. Great follower.
Yeah. She was super excited when we kicked off our fifth season. We had Ben Langevin. At Ben Langevin. He tweeted us.
Yep.
He wanted to find out if we had an RSS feed for a podcast version.
Which you guys know we now do on SoundCloud, Tampa Bay Power Play Replay.
Yep. So check that out. Jake Sundahl liked our tweet. Thank you, Jake. We have a new follower. Super excited about our new follower. At JH991881.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. He's a native Floridian, history nerd, wannabe photographer, and slight addiction to hockey. Slight? No. Let's own it. Let's own our addiction. So thanks for the follow. Appreciate it. Tell your friends. So a bunch of people have decided to like our tweets and follow us. And
good old Cody Gage, who's been a follower of ours for a while now. Really enjoyed the Eric Erlandson interview.
Yeah.
So he would like us to bring up Brad Marchand to Eric. So next time we have Eric on.
Oh, boy. Well, that may get both of us riled up.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I always think back to that. And Ryan Callahan is such an even-keeled guy. And mm-hmm. he's just so level. And he's very calm. But for his disgust, I mean, he was so disgusted. I mean, I know we don't want to drag it up again.
No,
but,
let's
I mean,
not talk about it again. Let's just not. It's in the past.
Well, we hope.
But yeah.
We hope it stays there.
Yeah. And we have another follower, too, at Jess_Jess2407 now follows us.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. So yeah, make sure you hit us up on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct, and we'll follow you back for sure.
Yeah, and we always try and answer if you guys ask us questions.
Yeah.
Or you know, sometimes you guys call us out for goofy things we say, and we'll own it.
Yeah. Who knows? You may love Gritty the mascot for Flyers.
Sorry.
And you can put us in our place on Twitter. That's fine.
If you don't think it's creepy and a deranged Muppet, go
deranged
for it. That's all right.
Muppet.
That's what you said. Right?
I know. I did.
Oh, okay.
I did.
It kind of looks like a drunken deranged Munkin. I mean, there's something wrong with it.
The googly eyes, and so it freaks me out. I kind of have nightmares about it.
I don't care for that thing at all, to be honest with you.
But guess what?
Some people love it.
We're talking about it.
Yep.
And so
that's what they care. Hey, they're not talking about them winning any kind of.
Oh, hey. Ooh. Okay, moving on. So wanted to talk about this, which I saw on NHL on Twitter, mm-hmm. which I'm going to retweet for everybody so they can read it.
Okay.
But so Connor Hellebuyck played for the Jets, mm-hmm. still plays for the Jets. He was one of the Vezina nominees with Andrei Vasilevskiy, and he had really a breakout season last year. And so NHL.com wrote a story about how he was inspired by a self-help movie.
A self-help movie?
Yes.
Like a Tony Robbins
kind
YouTube
of
thing?
Yeah, kind of.
No. Wait, okay. A self-help, like a legit self-help.
Yeah.
Motivational speaking.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, so when he's in the article explains that at the age of 18 he became really serious about hockey, and that's when he saw The Secret. And there's a book for it now too and everything.
Okay.
And a lot of successful people say that reading that book really Yeah. Clearly, okay. You haven't read the book.
No, have you?
Or seen the movie. I have not.
Okay, see?
Maybe we should.
You're like poo-pooing on me for not. You're like, well, maybe you should read it.
Dory, we're very different. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people who won't say something isn't true unless I've experienced it. You're just like, oh, this is a crock of you know what.
I'm very skeptical.
Yes,
about
you are. So it's in quoting, it's about believing in something to the point where you just naturally do everything toward that goal. So if I wanted to be in the NHL, then you truly believe you'll be in the NHL. Everything you do naturally moves around getting you to the NHL.
Okay, so it's kind of about changing your mindset of how you approach things.
Right.
So you tailor it so everything, like all drains lead to the ocean type of thing.
Right. And, okay. and further in the article, it says, for instance, the secret prompted him to stop thinking about anything in life as a problem, be it messed up dinner plans or a shot that beat him in the five hole. I just see learning curves now. Mistakes are not problems. They are something you can learn from.
Okay.
I think that's great advice. I may have to read that book.
Okay.
So should I or should I not get that for you for Christmas?
No, it sounds very interesting. It's just, I really truly feel like people should do whatever they want to do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else or hurt themselves, especially if they think it's bettering them. Totally. Let people live. I always say that, just let people live. It doesn't really matter. As long as they're happy. I'm just trying to think of where to me, it seems like it's something like your parents teach you. Like, you know,
right. It's something that
not the end of the world. Look at it as a learning experience.
Right. But so obviously reading this kind of shifted something in his mindset.
Yeah, there's got to be something else going on with this book if you're saying other people really believe in this. Well, so now I'm a little more intrigued than...
Yes, because it's called The Secret.
I think I've heard this, actually.
Yeah, I've heard of this book before. And a lot of really successful people say that, you know, the moment they read that book, it something in them kind of clicked. So... I don't know.
I have heard it.
We're not getting any royalties from this book by talking about it.
No, but like my mental like little is like, wait. I do a few years ago.
It's
not
been
recent,
out for a long time.
Recall people talking about this.
Right. So
I'm intrigued. I love Barnes & Noble. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Sure.
But I go like once every week or two.
Really?
So, yeah, I do.
Cool.
So maybe I'll see.
Go check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he read that when he was 18 or he saw the movie when he was 18. He's 25 now. So it's not immediate, so is he saying that if I believe I'm going to be an NHLer, I'm going to be an NHLer? No. That's silly.
No. Yeah. It's more than, you know, I believe at this, so now it's going to happen. I mean, it's got to be something. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be something. I'm very intrigued by what else it says.
Yeah.
Because that's a ridiculous thing to tell people. No, it's a ridiculous thing to tell people. Like, if you really want to be a princess, you can be a princess.
Right. But no, that's not how it works. But they said that you had to do the work, though.
Yeah, okay.
You had to do the work.
Sure. That makes sense. Now.
So we retweeted the story so you can read it. Dory is just not having it today.
No, I'm just, I'm always very cautious about these ideas of like participation trophies and telling people you can be anything you want to be. I'm just a little cautious because the real world doesn't quite work that way.
No, but you can be anything you want to be
if you're willing to work for it.
Yeah.
And a lot of things go your way.
Right.
And
some luck involved.
And there's some luck involved.
Like, we feel very lucky.
Yes.
Yes. So, okay. So we tweeted it out. You can find it at Game Miz with a Z Conduct
on
Twitter.
And if you've read this or seen the movie... Please
and
feel
maybe
free.
Maybe you're a full believer in this. Please tweet us and tell us.
I'm not saying
change Dory's mind.
I just think there's got to be something else I'm missing here.
So in their own words, John Cooper, it's an article up at TampaBayLightning.com that I really think that you should check out. It's written by John Cooper, and he kind of talks about giving back to the community through his annual Coops Catch for Kid charity fishing tournament, which happened last week. Mm-hmm. So definitely worth a read. We see John Cooper behind the bench, pregame, postgame, press conferences, just another way to get to know John Cooper.
Another side to him anyway.
Yeah. And then also the Bolt Run.
The Bolt Run.
I do love the Bolt Run. I haven't run in it lately, but I love it.
I like the Bolt Watch.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be in town this year for it, but the 18th annual Bolt Run is going to be on Saturday, November 17th. They've got the 5 mile, the 5K, and the 1 mile family fun run or walk like I do. you can sign up now at TampaBayLightning.com. Mm-hmm. So make sure you do that. It's super fun.
And it seems like last year was massive.
Yeah, every year it just gets bigger and bigger. This year it's the Saturday before Thanksgiving. So, like, you know, get your run in.
Get your run in before you pig out.
Exactly. See, the Lightning always looking out for you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.